I always like to be fair to people and tell them both sides of the story. We know what the Bible says about the hereafter. We know that Jesus said that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the book of Revelation describes that place for us. John was up on top of a high mountain, and he saw heaven opened, and he saw the new Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. And he described it there, and he told about the great wall of jasper that was around it, and the 12 gates of pearl, and he talked about the streets of gold, and all of the beauties of that place that God has going to prepare for us, and that Jesus is going to come back and take us to it one of these days. Now that's Christianity. That's straight out of the Bible. But there are as many people getting a different version as there are that's getting the truth out of the Bible. Because there's a book out here that's called the Koran. And that's the one that all of the people that follow the Muslim faith follow. Now, Mohammed is not preparing a place for all of the Muslim people. But this is the Muslim concept of paradise that I feel compelled to share with you tonight. It says, the very meanest in paradise, and the meanest that it talks about, I think that must refer to the lowest, because the meanest would be the one that's, you know, the most vicious, the one that's killed more people and such as this, you know. I really don't know what they mean by the meanest.
I think you're right.
Yeah. The meanest, in the very meanest in paradise will have 80,000 servants. 72 wives. Now, I don't know what this is going to do with you women.
That's all
they happen to be. 72 wives. You see, this is written from the male standpoint, I guess. 72 wives of the girls of paradise, besides the wives that he had in this world. Not a mansion now, but listen to this. And a tent erected for him of pearls, jacinth, and emeralds of a very large extent. In other words, it's going to be a big tent. And will be waited on by 300 attendants while he eats, will be served in dishes of gold, whereof 300 dishes of gold, 300 shall be set before him at once, containing each a different kind of food. There will be no want of wine, which, though forbidden in this life, will be freely allowed to be drunk in the next. It's in the book. It's in the book. All right, you guys, open your Bibles. 2 Samuel 15. I'm talking tonight about friendship. Beginning in verse 13, And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Now, you can understand there that this is about the time when Absalom is going to try to take over the kingdom of Israel. And a messenger says, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. In other words, they're following Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. The king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Petethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Why are you going with us? He said, return to thy place and abide with the king. He's calling Absalom the king. David's already given him the kingship. Abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may return not, and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Amen. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. I especially like that verse 21.
Amen.
Let me read that again. Ittai the Gittite passed over. Yeah. Here's what he said. As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. You know, we haven't heard words like that since over there in the land of Moab when Naomi decided to come back to Bethlehem. And she had she'd lost her husband there and her two sons. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, said to her, as Naomi was preparing to go back to Bethlehem, she said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I'm talking tonight about friendship. I'm talking about the relationship that exists between Ruth and Naomi and between Ittai and David. You know, when you read 2 Samuel, chapters 13 through 18 especially are some of the saddest chapters in King David's life. We find his home was falling apart. And we see his kingdom as it's falling apart. It's just crumbling out from under him, seems like. One tragedy after another keeps David weeping and mourning. Sadness is found throughout this entire section of Scripture. This all began when his son Absalom gathered a group of men together at Hebron and had himself proclaimed king of Israel. And then with his men, he set out for Jerusalem with the intent to overthrow his father and to take his kingdom away from him. David heard he was coming and he had to make a decision. He could choose to stay and fight and perhaps wind up killing his own son. Or he could choose to flee. Now if he stayed, he would surely win. But he'd have to kill Absalom. So David chose to be the fugitive king, hiding out in the wilderness from this man that sought to kill him. And it's in this setting that some great friendships come to light that might otherwise not have been noticed, but God pins them down. Some great men will have the opportunity to prove their love and their loyalty to David. I want to introduce you tonight to seven men. Seven men that you may not be familiar with. Ittai the Gittite. Then there are two Levitical priests, Zadok and Abiathar. There's Hushi the Archite, Shobi the Ammonite, Maker of Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite. Now they're not as familiar to you as the 12 tribes of Israel. They're not as familiar to you as the 12 apostles. But these were great men, and what made them great was their friendship that they showed toward King David. Let me begin by saying that one of the fundamental needs that we all share is the need for friendship. A shoulder to cry on, so to speak. I believe that God has built into each one of us that heartfelt desire for companionship. Every person needs good friends. And the more the better. So let's look at these men and see how their friendship with David was demonstrated. We read here in verses 19 through 22 in this 15th chapter about Ittai the Gittite. We don't know much about him. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, because I don't know Hebrew that well. But when the chips were down and David had seemingly lost it all, he was the first man that came to David and cast his lot with him. David tried to get him to go back home. He wanted to spare him the hardships of flight and possible death that association with David would bring. David told him in as many words that I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'll do, and I don't know if and when I'll be back. But Ittai demonstrated the character of a true friend. He said, as the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. I don't know about you, but that preaches a sermon to my heart. Here's David, the rejected king, replaced by a usurper, betrayed by those who had served him. Doesn't that remind you a little bit about Jesus, who was rejected by the world, who was replaced by an antichrist, of whom it is said, and you can bring this in your Friday night lessons, of antichrist. I'm quoting scripture. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. A universal worship of Satan, who empowers the antichrist, replacing Jesus. He's the Absalom of Jesus. You'll notice that Ittai didn't make this pledge of loyalty to David when David was on the throne. He made it when David needed it. He made it when he was on the run. And may we, as the followers of Christ, give such loyalty to our Lord and also to our friends as Ittai the Gittite. Secondly, in verses 23 and 24, we read verse 23 already. Let's look at verse 24. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. Now, Zadok and Abiathar were priests. I want to group these two together because they were those men dedicated to God who served God in the temple. Now, when David fled, they took the Ark of the Covenant out of the temple and they carried it with David. As David fled, they felt that the Ark of God belonged with King David, who is indeed a type of Christ. And that was a wonderful act of devotion. When they came, David appreciated it, of course, but he asked them to take it back to Jerusalem rather than to carry it out into the wilderness. Now, they would have preferred to have been with David. But if David wanted them to be in Jerusalem, then that's where they would be. It would be a very dangerous place for them, since their loyalty lie with David under the reign of Absalom. They would run a risk of being killed by Absalom because of their loyalty to David. But they're going to be on the inside. They are priests, and maybe, just maybe, there's a spark of decency in Absalom that will keep him from killing the priest of God. They're going to use their sons, Ahimeaz, who is the son of Zadok, and Jonathan, who is the son of Abiathar, as couriers to take messages to David. Let him know what's going on in the capital city, which they did. But these two priests showed their friendship by their willingness to stick their neck out for David. Now, they may get hurt by taking his side, but they're willing to take that risk because they are David's friends, and they're showing their friendship at a time of need. Look in verse 32 of this 15th chapter. Let's look at a fellow by the name of Hushai. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, you can see him, he's left Jerusalem now, he went down the hill, crossed over the brook Kidron and up the Mount of Olives. And you'll remember that as he went, he was barefooted and he was weeping, he was mourning. And when he was come to the top of the mount, he worshiped God. Behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. He was upset about the things that had happened to. Verse 33, unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been my father's servant, thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me, David's asking him, for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Now, Hushai was an older man, and he was brokenhearted over what had transpired. He came to David. But David knew that Hushai couldn't handle that wilderness environment, sleeping on the ground, not knowing where the next meal was coming from. He was too old for that. And he would actually be a burden to them. But David gave him something to do. Sent him back. Urged him to go to Absalom and refute the counsel that the counselor Ahithophel would give him. And he did that. And verse 37 identifies him. Says, so Hushai, David's friend, see that? Friendship. David's friend came into the city. He was willing to actually lay his life on the line for David. And God used him there to disrupt Absalom's plans to take 12,000 men out and pursue after David, which if he had done, he might have killed his father and all of David's 600 men. This is interesting too. We were talking about Zadok and Abiathar's sons that were going to be used as go-betweens, taking the news of what's happening in the capital to David in the wilderness. In chapter 17, we find that the priests have a message to send to David. They got a message for David. So they call these two boys in, and they give them the message. And they're on their way to take that message to David. And there's another boy over here, probably knew them and maybe knew what they were up to. And maybe he didn't like them, because when he saw them, he went and told Absalom. They were on their way, and so Absalom sent some men after them. Go get them. Don't let them get away. They almost got caught. There was a young woman that hid them in a well. It's a well out here, and she says, "You boys climb down into the well." And then she took a cloth covering and covered the top of the well, and she put some ground up corn on top of it. Looked like it was, you know, drying in the sun or something. And these boys are down here in the well. So Absalom's men come, and they ask her, "Where are those two guys?" And she said, "But they're already gone. They're on their way." And so they left, and they looked around, and they never did find them. So after they had gone back to take the news to Absalom that they couldn't find them, she took the cloth from covering from off the well and let them out. And so then they proceeded on to David and gave him the message from their fathers. And as a result of that, David was able to escape with his people over the Jordan River into the wilderness. Now that's in chapter 17, verses 15 through 22. So these friends helped the cause of David, and they did it without expectation of reward. They did it without expectation of recognition, because a true friend is all about you and not about himself. Look in chapter 17, verse 27. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of, it's hard for me to see these words up here, Nahash of Riba, of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Regulam. What'd they do now? Here's three of them. Brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, "The people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." Friendship. David, his household, 600 men, they're going to need supplies. They're going to need sustenance while they're out there in that barren, desolate wilderness, while they're hiding out on the run from Absalom. Now, when Moses and the children of Israel were out there in the wilderness, God fed them with manna from heaven, fresh every morning. When they got thirsty, they had water from the smitten rock. But David didn't have any manna. David didn't have any water from the smitten rock. Instead, God gave him three loyal men who proved their friendship to David by providing him sustenance in the wilderness. They brought the necessities. They said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty." So they brought them beds and basins and earthen vessels and brought them food. I kind of like the menu. How many of you have ever had kine cheese?
Well, it ain't a goat cheese.
A kine is not a goat. A kine is a cow.
Oh, yeah.
And you make cheese out of milk. Raise your hands. Every one of you has eaten cheese, you know it. Sit there like a bunch of cheese. That's kine cheese. Oh, and it mentions pulse in here. How many of you have eaten parched pulse? We ran across this here a while back. Remember that? We talked about pulse. What do we say about pulse? I've forgotten now what it is.
It's like lentils.
Huh?
It's like lentils.
Lentils is kind of like beans or peas or something like that. Yeah. Parched. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's pretty good, yeah. Barzillai, I like him. He was a wealthy man. He was 80 years old. But he made the hard trip anyway. And he gave generously to his friend in need. A true friend is someone who gives without being asked and expects nothing in return. These men were not seeking promotion. They were not seeking compensation. They did what they did simply because they loved David. He was their friend. And no price was too high, and no inconvenience was too great for their true friendship. Later on, Barzillai will escort David back after Absalom's done away with. He'll escort David back across the Jordan River, and David will invite him to become a member of his own household. He said, Barzillai, come home with me. I've got a big house. I've got empty rooms. Live with me in my house. Eat food from my table. Sleep in my beds. But you know, Barzillai, he didn't say, well, David, that sounds pretty good. I think I'll take you up on it. He didn't. He's going to excuse himself because of his great age. How old is he? He's 80. He's going to excuse himself because he's 80 years old. He says to David, he says, and this is no reflection on anybody here that's 80 or more, okay? He says, can I discern between good and evil? What's 80 got to do with that? Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? He says, I just want to go back home and die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. I like him. He was a great friend. And you know something, Jesus is our friend. He's the friend, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than a brother. And he sets a good example of friendship. We ought to strive to be like him. Friendship. Learn a good lesson from David. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege to open the Word of God and study these things, reflect upon them.
Amen.
How precious these men were to David, and how fortunate David was to have such friends in the time of need. We know his heart. We know that his heart was broken over the conduct of his son. And these men stood by David and gave him moral support when he needed it. And we thank you for them. And we thank you, Father, that we have friends like that. And we thank you that we can be a friend like that. And help us not to shun the responsibility of friendship. When we see someone in need, let us be the ones that offer a helping hand. Father, bless our fellowship together tonight. The food that's been prepared to the nourishment of our bodies, bless those that have prepared it, and just give us a good time of fellowship now. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.